Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
My wife and I were eating out recently, and when we checked out with the cashier, she said to us, "Have a blessed day." That's not all that uncommon in my part of the world. I don't know about you where you live, but it's not all uncommon to hear someone say, "Have a blessed day," which is actually biblical vocabulary. And those are statements that only a Christian can truly understand and appreciate, and therefore I assume that when someone says something like that to me, that they probably are a Christian. At least I would like to think so, and I enjoy hearing statements like that in public, sort of a subtle, not too brash way of calling attention to things eternal. Not a bad way to identify yourself as a believer in the public square. It seems to be a very gracious way to be able to speak a word of witness for Christ, to articulate a simple message that God may use to cause people to think. What is this blessing that Christians talk about? Am I included in this blessing? How can I know that I am? We hope that the Lord would use this kind of language to cause people to ask questions like that. And that is the language of the next verse that we come to in our verse-by-verse study through the book of James. For we come now to James 1:12, which says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." Blessed is the man. What a statement. Blessed is the man. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, January 11, and many thanks to those who help us financially maintain this program on this and other stations. Blessed is the man. Here indeed is a blessing worth striving for. God has promised a blessing for persevering saints, and that's what every one of us need to be by the help and grace of God. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Here is a coveted blessing, or at least it ought to be. If we have any spiritual understanding at all, we ought to covet blessing from the Lord. Blessed is the man. That's Bible language, familiar Bible language. You'll find it in the Old Testament as well as the New. Most of us are familiar with Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, and so forth. That's a wonderful psalm, and it tells us which people are blessed by God. It describes the man who has God's blessing upon his life and contrasts him with the man, and of course I mean by that the man or woman, the person who does not have God's blessing upon their life. And every one of us ought to covet the blessing of God. Blessed is the man. Oh, may I be that blessed man by the grace of God. Of course, this is New Testament language as well. All of us are familiar with the Beatitudes of Christ. The Beatitudes, of course, are the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. And here James uses similar language. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who may very well have heard Jesus speak the words of the Sermon on the Mount. And if he did not hear him speak those words on that occasion, most likely did hear him speak similar words on other occasions, maybe even in the home where they were growing up and living together. Blessed is the man. Some people have translated that word blessed as happy. Happy is the man. That's not incorrect, though it certainly doesn't include everything that's in that Bible word. Some have translated it fortunate. Fortunate is the man. But that's not a completely accurate translation either, though again, it would be hard to argue against it. It's actually a hard word to define because there's no way to find one synonym that does it justice. You can't find one other word that includes everything that Bible language includes in that word blessed. That word blessed means an inner quality of joy not dependent upon favorable circumstances. It means profound inner joy and satisfaction. It means actually a right relationship with God and all of the blessings that flow from that relationship. A right relationship with God and all that that entails. That's what it means to be blessed. Blessed is the man who has a right relationship with God, because that man truly has inner joy that is not dependent upon favorable circumstances. He has an inner joy that does not depend upon his having a good day or having money in the bank or going on a vacation or heading to a ball game or something else that he enjoys doing. There is an inner joy and satisfaction that is there even in the midst of difficulties and trials, a profound inner joy and satisfaction which cannot be removed by difficulties and trials. Now, that is blessing indeed. Remember that song that used to be sung 30 or 40 years ago? I have a peace in my heart that the world never gave me, a peace it cannot take away. Remember that? I do. That's the idea. Blessed. Blessedness, a joy, an inner satisfaction that did not come because of circumstances in this world. It's not something that the world gave you or something that the world can give you. The world can give you fame and fortune and honor and acclaim and many other things, but it cannot give you blessedness. That can only come from God. And that can only come from a right relationship with God. This phrase in James 1:12 is actually a statement of fact. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. A person who fits this category, namely endures temptation, is blessed. Not can be, not should be, but is. It's a statement of fact. It is a promise. It is a promised benefit for that person who fits this category. The person who endures temptation will be blessed by God. Promise. Divine promise says so. But it is also, I think, a directive. It is a help for seekers. It is direction for inquirers. Do you want God's blessing? Here's how to receive it. Become a person that fits the category that this text describes. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. If you want God's blessing, then find yourself in that category. Put yourself in that category. Ask God to help you to qualify in that category. Ask God to help you to be a person who endures temptation. Learn what that means. And enjoy what that entails. And when you do, you too will be blessed. If you become a member of this category of people, the people who endure temptation, then you are assured of God's blessing. And who is the qualified recipient of this blessing? It is the person who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, we read. And what is temptation? The word actually has two different meanings. It can mean a test, a trial, external circumstances which come into our lives and constitute a trial, a test of our faith, a test of our faithfulness, a test of our obedience, a test of our relationship with God, a test of our understanding of Scripture, something like sickness or the death of a loved one or some deep disappointment or financial problems or betrayal. These are tests. These are trials. These are temptations. But the word can also have the meaning of an enticement to sin, a solicitation to evil. It actually means that in the very next verse. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. So in the verse that follows, the text we're looking at, the word temptation has the idea of a solicitation to do evil. But in previous verses, such as verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith, the temptation of your faith, produces patience. So it can mean either one of these two things. And actually, you can combine them. Because trials, we're talking about sickness, death, the death of a loved one, disappointments, financial problems, the betrayal of someone that you trusted, and so forth. All of these trials contain some solicitation to sin. A trial like this tempts us to unbelief. Where's God? Where are the promises of God? Does God really care? It's a temptation to doubt God's word. The Bible tells us that Jesus does care, that Jesus is with us. The Bible tells us of God, if we are his child, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible promises for the children of God that he will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible tells us that he will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, and on it goes. The Bible tells us that God's faithfulness is great, but when we are being tested by some difficult circumstance of life, there is always the temptation to sin, to doubt God's word, to fail to embrace and believe his promises, to question God's goodness, to question God's character. Is God really a good God? Is he really a gracious God? Is he really a loving God? Does he really take care of his children? I don't feel that way right now. It doesn't look that way right now in my circumstances. And in one way or another, we are mightily tested and tempted to sin, because all of those things are sin. Unbelief is sin. Failing to trust God is sin. Questioning God's goodness and faithfulness and character is sin. And so, a testing is a temptation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.